This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 192 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Before we dig into the transactions for this week, I wanted to let you Late Round Podcast listeners know about a special Thanksgiving offer from NumberFire. For a limited time until Cyber Monday, all new users can upgrade to NumberFire Premium for only $5. Just use promo code TOUCHDOWN at checkout and get access to award-winning DFS tools, premium content, and gambling picks across the NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. For more info, visit numberfire.com/premium. That's promo code TOUCHDOWN. Try it out for a month for only $5 today. Add Tre'Quan Smith. We've been waiting for the Tre'Quan Smith breakout game, and it finally happened. Since Ted Ginn's knee injury that put him on injured reserve and before this past week, so weeks 5 through 10, Tre'Quan Smith had tallied 16 targets for a target share of about 9%. But on Sunday, he saw 14 of a possible 32 Saints attempts. Without a true number 2 wide receiver option in that Saints offense, this could be the start of bigger things for Tre'Quan Smith. Even just the chance for Smith to be a bigger part of one of the best offenses in the league warrants an add off the waiver wire. As it stands, he's rostered in just 26% of Yahoo leagues. You better go at him this week. Sell Larry Fitzgerald. Since Arizona switched from Mike McCoy to Byron Leftwich as offensive coordinator, they've averaged roughly 9 more pass and rush attempts combined per game. Now that obviously helps the pieces in that offense to become more fantasy relevant, because volume drives this stupid game that we all love. And Larry Fitzgerald specifically has benefited from this change. Over the last 3 games, he's seen his target share jump from 19.6% with McCoy to 26.3% with Leftwich. And he's ranked as a top 30 PPR wide receiver in each of those 3 games. So why would you sell Larry Fitzgerald right now? Well, here's the thing. This Arizona offense has still not been that great. They've improved, but they're still not an offense that's easy to rely on in fantasy football. They were averaging 19.5 yards per drive with Mike McCoy, and with Byron Leftwich, it's risen to 23.8. So there's been an improvement. But that 23.8 number is still the second lowest mark in the league over the last 4 weeks. And then all the while, during this Leftwich era, Josh Rosen has thrown a touchdown on 6.1% of his attempts. That's an above average touchdown rate league-wide. And considering you're talking about Josh Rosen here, a rookie who hasn't looked that great, you have to think that's going to regress a bit. I'd be shocked if Josh Rosen maintains a 6% touchdown rate through the end of the season. So I don't think that Larry Fitzgerald is necessarily a must-sell. But I do think there are reasons to not be overly optimistic about him and his situation. It's just hard to envision Fitz racking up all these yards like we're used to seeing in that Arizona offense. Buy Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So here's the thing. In fantasy football, you want wide receivers who are seeing snaps and running routes in good offenses. Above all else, you want targets. But the hope is that with the other 2 pieces, targets will come. And that's what makes MVS a buy low candidate this week. He's coming off a game where he saw just 3 targets, but he tied Davante Adams for a team-high 35 routes run according to Pro Football Focus, and he led all wide receivers on the Packers with a 98% snap share. Considering his quarterback is Aaron Rodgers, better days are ahead for Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Add Josh Adams. So going into week 11, Josh Adams had seen 16 of a possible 35, or about 46% of the running back carries in Philadelphia's 2 previous contests, and he was playing about 30% of the team's snaps. On Sunday against the Saints, that running back attempt share jumped to 70%, and Adams was on the field for 55% of the Eagles' offensive snaps. And this all came a week after head coach Doug Peterson openly stated that Adams would get more carries in the offense. These are all very good signs. He's still only rostered in 32% of Yahoo leagues, and I think that running back needy teams should prioritize Josh Adams off the waiver wire this week. Because if and when the Eagles get into a positive game script, he could see strong fantasy numbers. Sell Adrian Peterson. It's not like Alex Smith was having some Pro Bowl season, but we should see a downgrade at quarterback with Colt McCoy under center. And when that's the case, an offense is not going to be as effective. And when an offense isn't as effective, scoring chances go down. And that's not good for their running back. In this case, it's not good for Adrian Peterson. AP has averaged 21.8 carries and 104.8 rushing yards per game in wins this season. In losses, he's averaged 10 carries per game and 23.5 rushing yards. That's a dramatic difference. He's just been a completely game script dependent back. And now he's going to be on the road in 4 of his next 5 games with a backup quarterback. That's frightening, and I do worry about Adrian Peterson's fantasy totals moving forward. Hold John Brown. It's really fun to have Lamar Jackson under center and to watch that offense with him just running the football over and over again, but it's also really bad for Ravens pass catchers. They naturally went with a run-heavy approach on Sunday against the Bengals, and they threw it just 19 times. So even if a wide receiver had a 50% target share in that offense, that wide receiver still wouldn't have hit 10 targets. And remember, those targets are coming from a quarterback, Lamar Jackson, who's a raw rookie. He's got to develop a lot as a passer still. The thing is, though, you can't just go sell John Brown right now. No one's going to buy John Brown in fantasy football. But I do think that dropping him might be a little bit premature, because there's still a chance that we see Joe Flacco this year, and the Ravens do have a really nice upcoming schedule. They get the Raiders, Falcons, Chiefs, and Buccaneers. And you never know, Lamar Jackson could also improve as a passer as well. So don't get rid of John Brown just yet. Don't drop John Brown. But I will say that having Lamar Jackson under center is a definite downgrade for all of these Baltimore pass catchers. Add Bruce Ellington. In Bruce Ellington's debut with the Lions, he had 9 targets while playing about half of the team's snaps. He did run fewer routes than teammate TJ Jones, but Ellington split time with Jones in the slot, and he saw 6 more targets from that area of the field according to Pro Football Focus. We know there's a vacancy in the slot with Golden Tate in Philly, and Ellington may be that dude who helps fill the role. And with Marvin Jones looking iffy for Thanksgiving, Ellington could help your squad as soon as this week. Buy Joe Mixon. Mixon played just 62% of Cincinnati's snaps on Sunday against Baltimore, and that was a season low for him in a game where he didn't leave early. And that was probably the result of a knee injury that he practiced through during the week. Now, Mixon did find the end zone, but he also ran the ball 12 times for just 14 yards. It wasn't exactly a stellar day for Joe Mixon. Now, I'm typically not someone who buys injured players, but I do think that there's a risk-reward payoff here with Joe Mixon. And you can always use this knee injury to your advantage when you're negotiating. If Mixon is healthy, we know that he has a decent ceiling in fantasy football. And if you're looking forward to the playoffs, weeks 15 and 16 feature games against the Raiders and Browns for Mixon. Those are two teams that have allowed bottom 7 numbers, or top, depending how you're looking at it, to fantasy backs this year. Now, don't give away a ton for Joe Mixon right now, because the injury might be significant enough to where Joe Mixon isn't fully 100%. But I don't think it can hurt to talk to the Mixon manager, especially if the team who has him is out of the playoff hunt. Add Jameis Winston. So Jameis Winston is back and under center for the Bucs, and that means that you need to be adding him off the waiver wire. As frustrating as the Ryan Fitzpatrick and Jameis Winston platoon has been, the two passers have totaled more fantasy points than any quarterback in fantasy football not named Patrick Mahomes. So at the very least, Jameis Winston is a good streamer this week against San Francisco. But if he gets the nod moving forward, if he's their starter through the end of the season, he should post QB1 numbers. Buy Emmanuel Sanders. I talked about this a little bit on last week's mailbag episode, but there was some worry that with the Demaryius Thomas trade to Houston, that Emmanuel Sanders wouldn't be playing in the slot as much. And while that still might happen, it hasn't happened yet. Sanders ran 60% of his routes on Sunday from the slot, according to Pro Football Focus, and he saw half of his targets from that area of the field. That's obviously a good sign. You're creating mismatches when you're putting Emmanuel Sanders in the slot. Now, Deshaun Hamilton returned in week 11, but he left in the second quarter with a knee injury. It was actually the same knee that kept him sidelined earlier this season. It doesn't sound like the injury is as severe, but Hamilton does stand as the one player who could potentially shift Sanders out of that slot role. But with the injury and what we saw in week 11, that position still looks like Emmanuel Sanders. I would be surprised if Emmanuel Sanders is not the team's slot receiver moving forward. Now, Sanders had a down game on Sunday, and it's his third straight kind of bad game. It's his third straight game without 60 receiving yards or a touchdown. But this could be a good buy low moment, because in week 14, the first week of the fantasy playoffs, Denver gets San Francisco. In week 15, it's Cleveland. And then in week 16, they get Oakland. Those are 3 plus matchups for Emmanuel Sanders during the most important time of the fantasy football season. Add Gus Edwards. As I said in my 15 transactions column on NumberFire, the only person who started Gus Edwards in fantasy football this past weekend was his mom. And I'm sure that she debated that decision. But she made the right move because Edwards ran the ball 17 times for 115 yards and a score against Cincinnati. Now, I have no idea if that type of usage is going to continue in that Baltimore offense. But as I talked about earlier, the Ravens do have a nice rest of season schedule. And any time a running back is coming off a 17-attempt game, you should be adding him off the waiver wire. Buy or hold Amari Cooper. Cooper only had 5 targets in a good matchup against Atlanta in Week 11, but that still accounted for roughly 16% of Dak Prescott's attempts. That brings his target total as a Cowboy to 23 across 3 games, which is good for a 23.2% target share in the offense. That's pretty good. Now, the downside with Cooper is the same that it's been since he got to Dallas. There's a lack of passing upside in that Cowboys offense because it's a run-first offense. But with that being said, they do have a very favorable schedule through the rest of the fantasy season, and it is a schedule that could force them to throw the ball more than usual. This week, it's kind of an ordinary matchup against Washington, but then they'll face the Saints, Eagles, Colts, and Bucks through Week 16. So given Cooper's target share, if there's an increase in passing volume, he should see a lot of looks as a result. So I think that even after a down game and a strong matchup, you could still look to buy Amari Cooper. At the very least, I would not be selling Cooper right now. Add Lance Kendricks and Cameron Brait. The tight end position is a complete dumpster fire. I talk about this each and every week, so I'm going to give you a 2-for-1 transaction. I'm going to give you 2 guys that could step up and be relevant at the tight end position because of injuries in their offenses. Jimmy Graham is expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a thumb injury, and Lance Kendricks should be the one who benefits from that. He saw only 2 targets against Seattle, but he ran 17 routes, which tied a season high. And considering he's tied to Aaron Rodgers, Kendricks might not be a bad streaming option moving forward. And then there's Cameron Brait, who's going to step in for an injured OJ Howard. According to Pro Football Doc on Twitter, it's likely that Howard is going to miss some time. And that means Brait will serve as the team's top tight end. And he's the top tight end in an offense that's thrown the 2nd most attempts in the NFL this season. So that means that there should be enough volume for Brait to be fantasy relevant. Add Lamar Jackson. I already talked about Lamar Jackson a little bit, but it does sound like he's going to start for the Ravens in Week 12. And that makes him a strong streaming option against the Raiders. Now, we know Jackson can get a lot of yards with his legs, but there's actually some upside with his arm this week as well. Oakland's coming off a game where they allowed 3 Josh Rosen touchdowns, and they've now given up multiple scores in all but 1 game this year. And that game came all the way back in Week 2 against Case Keenum. The Ravens have a pretty strong 27-point implied Vegas team total, and considering Jackson was involved on over 63% of Baltimore's offensive plays on Sunday, if they score, he's likely going to be part of that scoring. So I think Lamar Jackson is a very strong streamer here in Week 12. Add the Buffalo Bills defense. The Jacksonville offense, that's who Buffalo is going to face this week, they've struggled since Week 2. And opposing fantasy defenses are definitely benefiting from it. From Weeks 3 through this past weekend, the Jags have allowed a top 12 defensive performance in all but 1 game. That 1 game being against Indianapolis in Week 10. During this time, defenses are averaging 3.4 sacks per game against the Jags. As just 3-point underdogs while playing at home in a game that projects to be very, very low scoring and probably very, very boring, the Bills are a good streamer this week. The 16th transaction this week that you can't get in my 15 transactions column over on NumberFire is to add a bunch of other players off the waiver wire. You can go with LeGarrette Blount if you're super desperate at running back given Kerryon Johnson's injury. You could look at Seth Roberts because he's become the only breathing wide receiver on the Raiders roster. Or you could go with Trey Quinn, who played 71% of Washington snaps while seeing 4 targets in his first game back from injury on Sunday. And then there's also the Cowboys defense, who I like a lot, who are going to be facing the backup quarterback, Colt McCoy, on Thanksgiving. So they're a great streaming option as well as heavy favorites in that game. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to everyone for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And if you're on iTunes, guys, please, please leave me a rating and review. I'm also on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later in the week.